Well, what a joy it is to be here tonight. We thank you so much for the opportunity, Pastor. And we love you, Pastor. And we're thankful again for his friendship down through the years. And Marcia and I just decided to get away for a few days and come to Florida. And we're glad that we could be here and didn't think about coming to preach, but we're glad it worked out to do that. And we're always happy to be used of the Lord and open up the Word of God. And tonight we're looking again at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we'll pick up for our text tonight down in verse number 10. The Apostle Paul, in this passage of Scripture, is addressing the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course here, we're reminded as we look at 1 Corinthians 15 down in verse number 10, and Paul is reminding us here of those that did not believe that the Lord Jesus Christ indeed died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day. That is the gospel in itself. And there's always been those, and they, as there were in this day, as there is this 21st century, of those who do not accept the fact that God was made flesh and dwelt among us, walked upon this earth for 33 and a half years, lived a sinless, perfect life, and yet he came for one reason, to seek and to save that which is lost. The Lord Jesus Christ made his way to the cross, died for our sins. Aren't you thankful tonight? Would you say amen? But he didn't stay dead. He resurrected on the third day. As we look at this passage of Scripture, keep in mind that these Jews were certainly denying any resurrection. And we're reminded in this passage of Scripture that the Bible says how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he what? Rose again on the third day. And the Bible says according to the Scripture. Paul lines up a number of eyewitnesses in this passage of Scripture, and you'll notice the Scripture that says he was seen of Cephas, then the 12, after the 500 in verse 5 at one time, and also states that he was seen of James and then the apostles. Now Paul alludes to the day that he met the Savior himself on the road to Damascus. And of course, it was that day that changed his life, and no doubt forever. And so Paul not only declared the gospel, but he also urged these Corinthian people, the church at Corinth, notice what he says, to keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. By the way, we should never get so comfortable that we think that our salvation again depends upon us. It's all about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only does he give us this wonderful gift of salvation, but upon salvation, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, moves in and dwells within us. Even though I was raised in a preacher's home, I remember years ago that I had someone ask me in the workplace, whenever I told them that I was a Christian, and the first question they asked me after that was this: well, do you have the Holy Ghost? Has anyone ever asked you that? And I answered and said, oh no, we don't believe in that. And of course, I knew what they were asking me, and of course, then they looked at me pretty funny, you know, well, you mean you don't believe in the Holy Ghost? It's not about how much of the Holy Ghost I have, it's how much of the Holy Ghost has me as I yield again myself to the Lord Jesus Christ. Underscore again this phrase, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. The Apostle Paul clearly states, all my hope of heaven, all my zeal, all my success, all my devotion, all my endowments, whatever, can all be traced back to him. Not me, he says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. When I think about my own heritage, and I thank the Lord that I have a goodly heritage, as the Scripture says. My grandpa led the singing at a Union Gospel Mission Church in Ironton, Ohio, until he was 94 years of age, and went home to be with the Lord at 98. I hope I have that gene at 98. My father came from a family of 14, and out of that 14, there were three of those boys that became preachers. My father was a preacher of the gospel, and had preached for 44 years from the time he was 13 years of age. When I was 22, my father went to heaven at the age 57. But I thank God that I have a goodly heritage. I thank God again that there are many others. My brother, who's pastored the same church up in North Carolina for 54 years. And I have cousins, several cousins that are preachers. And I thank God for that. But it's not about the family. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing again that God wants all of us to yield ourselves to Him. One of my favorite verses in the Bible comes from Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. And the Lord speaking, he says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and what? Follow me. Now the Lord says, I want you to keep on coming. I want you, again, to follow me. As we look at this passage of Scripture, and I've underscored the phrase, but by the grace of God. Would you write down two or three thoughts? First of all, but by the grace of God, I am no longer out of Christ. Thank God again for His grace. I thank God again for the day that I trusted Christ as my Savior. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 9, I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Notice with me, please, as you look at this passage of Scripture, and again, it fits all of us when he says again that I am the least of the apostle. That's all of us, that I'm not meet to be called an apostle. Thank God again for his wonderful, marvelous grace. Ephesians 2:12, the Bible says that at that time you were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world. Growing up in a preacher's home, I tell him a poem that I was raised on drugs. I was drugged to church on Sunday morning, drugged on Sunday night, and drugged on Wednesday night. One time I remember when I was just a boy in the sixth grade that we had a revival at our church in Milton, West Virginia, down between Huntington and Charleston, West Virginia. Daddy planted a church there, Bethel Baptist Church, that is still there to this day. And I remember it was a 6 weeks revival under a gospel tent, 6 weeks of revival. And when you think about a meeting even for 6 days these days, that's really hard to do in our area, but 6 weeks of revival. I want you to know again that growing up in church and growing up in the preacher's home doesn't give us that eternal life, but it's personally asking Christ to come into our heart. But I thank God for the influence that I had in my own life. By the way, the only thing that I'm going to leave behind that really matters, and all that any of us in this room are going to leave behind that really counts for something to our children and our grandchildren and the future down the road, is our influence. That's it. It's not about stuff. It's about things. When my daddy died, I never will forget that when they gave me his clothes at the hospital after he passed away, gave me his slacks and his coat and his tie and his shoes and all, and then his wallet. I never will forget opening up that wallet and noticing that he had his driver's license. There was a ministerial card in there, a social security card. There wasn't any money at all, but tucked down in the corner of that wallet where the bills should have been, Pastor, I found three pennies. I remember telling my brothers and my sister, one sister. I have three brothers and one sister. I said to them, this is the sum of Dad's inheritance, 3 pennies. And I'm not splitting it with any of you. I have those 3 pennies scotch taped to a family Bible, again beside of the verse that says, if any man come after me, life doth not consist in the abundance of things which a man possesseth. And recognizing again that it's not about stuff, it's not about things, it's about our influence indeed. But most of all, it's a spiritual heritage that you pass on to the next generation. How important that is. As we read this passage of Scripture, let me get back to my text. We recognize again that all of us have, like sheep, the Bible says, have gone astray. And we've turned everyone his own way. And so as a Christian, we recognize that we must come to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit deals with us. The Bible reminds us, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, and by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. The question tonight would be simply this to all that's under the sound of my voice, not just in this meeting, but by live stream or by video down the road. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you certain if you were to die right now that heaven would be your home? Then you're no longer a sinner. You're no longer separated. You're no longer perishing. You're no longer a casualty. You're no longer have the penalty of sin upon you. If we have been saved, we ought to shout hallelujah, amen, that my sins are gone. Praise God, they're gone. They're cast as far as the east is from the west to be remembered against us. The Bible says no more. Thank God again for a time in our life when we've trusted Christ as our Savior. I read where a man prayed a prayer like this, and he said, "Dear God, so far today, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been greedy, nor grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. I'm very thankful for all of that. But Lord, in a few minutes, I'm going to get out of bed. And from then on in, I'll probably need a lot of help. Amen." And the truth of it is that our righteousness is as filthy rags. And none of us have arrived. And none of us have reached that place where that we have no sin or sin less, someone would say. Meaning, again, that we, as a Christian, we ought to sin less. There's no question about it. But we still, our righteousness is as filthy rags. And so Paul gives us this text. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. All that I have, and all that God has blessed us with, and all that God has met the needs of our life, it's all by the wonderful, marvelous grace of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Not only am I no longer out of Christ, but by the grace of God, I am in Christ." 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a what? A new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Romans 8 verse 1 says, "Therefore there is now no condemnation to them that are what? In Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13, "For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit." And so we're reminded in this passage of Scripture over and over again that we are have been saved by the grace of God. No longer outside of the family, no longer an outcast, no longer on my way to devil's hell. That's what we're shouting about right there. I'm no longer out of Christ, but in Christ. The thief, however, the Bible says, cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I am come, Jesus said, that you might have what? Life. And not only life, but have it more abundantly. Thank God again that we can say, I'm saved to the uttermost. I love that song. I'm safe, I'm secure, I'm satisfied in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm longing one day to see my Savior face to face. By the way, when I think about Dad, and I think about Grandpa, my mom, and a younger brother, and I think about those loved ones that have gone on, how many have someone in heaven tonight? Would you raise your hand with mine all over this room? Don't you long to see them again? Isn't it a wonderful thought, if I may just pull away from this for a moment, isn't it just a wonderful thought to know that heaven, there's no night there? According to the Bible, heaven is one eternal day. Meaning this, we all arrive to heaven on the same day. We all get there on the same day. Oh, no doubt. I'm missing Dad, I'm missing Mom, I'm missing brother, I'm missing family, I'm missing in-laws, I'm missing all kinds of people, friends and church members. I miss them. But understand this, they're not missing us. They're rejoicing in heaven. and there's no night there. And when we get there, it's as if we had already been there. Isn't that a wonderful thought to think about that glad reunion day? Well, but by the grace of God, I am not out of Christ. By the grace of God, I am in Christ. And thirdly, would you write it down? By the grace of God, I am for Christ. Notice what Paul says in verse number 10 of our text of 1 Corinthians 15. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. He says, I labored more abundantly. By the grace of God, we're no longer out of Christ, but by the grace of God, we're in Christ, and by the grace of God, we are for Christ. Meaning this, God has left us here for this purpose. God has left us here to be witnesses to others. God desires that we keep on coming and that we yield to Him and follow Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 20. Now then, are we what? Ambassadors for Christ. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. When we think about being reconciled to God and following the Lord, in the 18th century, a man by the name of D.L. Moody died at the age of 62. And here's what Pastor Moody said. I'm only one, but I am one. I cannot do everything, but I can do something. And that which I can do, by the grace of God, I will do. It's about yielding ourselves to the Lord and asking God to guide us and direct us. May I say this again? You'll never know the will of God until you do the will of God. Just keep on coming. Keep on growing in the Lord. Keep on drawing closer to Him and yielding ourselves to the Lord. And God has a place for all of us, young and old alike, that we can be used by Him for the building of the kingdom of God. God has a place for all of us. But by the grace of God, I'm no longer out of Christ. But by the grace of God, I'm in Christ. And by the grace of God, I want to be used for Christ. I desire again, knowing that we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. By the grace of God, no longer am I out of Christ, I'm in Christ and for Christ. Let me give you one more. But by the grace of God, one day we'll be with Christ. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 6 and 7. And therefore we are always confident knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, 8, he says, we're confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body is what? To be present with the Lord. Oh, how we long not only to see our loved ones, but to be with the Lord Jesus Christ throughout all of eternity. And Romans chapter 6 and verse 8 says, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with Him in glory. Colossians 3, 4. And so we recognize when the thief on the cross said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And immediately the Lord said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Again, I'm only one, as D.L. Moody said. But I'm only one. I can't do everything, but I can do something, and so can you. And that which I do by the grace of God, I will do.
So when someone says to you, what are you really doing for the Lord? I want you to know, little is much when God is in it. We all have a place. Sure, we talk about Dr. Lee Robertson, the five to thrive, and of attending church and reading our Bible and witnessing to others and giving of our tithe and giving back to the Lord and being faithful in every area of our life, of following the Lord. But understand this, it's more than just those five things. It's about yielding every day to the Lord and giving ourselves to Him, knowing God wants to use us all and He has a place for us. Charlie Tremendous Jones was a motivational speaker. Years ago, when Marsha and I got married, I was in sales. I traveled a lot for the company, was with the company actually for 27 years. Right in the middle of that career, God called me to preach. And I realized along the way, God was already using us in the workplace. And I always said, you do not have to be a preacher. You do not have to be a pastor to be used by God. And I thank God for the privilege and the honor that God had given us. But we had heard a lot of things that could actually be applied to the Christian life, even in the sales. So Charlie Tremendous Jones, how many have ever heard of Charlie Tremendous Jones? Motivational speaker, but here's what he said. At 81 years old, in October 16, 2008, he went home to be with the Lord. He said, he found a way to tell his entire life history in 15 seconds or less. And this is what he said. I'm not what I used to be. I'm not what I shall be. But by the grace of God and through the blood of the Lamb, I shall become what I am supposed to be. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And as we yield ourselves to the Lord and follow Him, and He says, keep on coming, keep on coming, keep on following. Being faithful to the Lord in every area of our life, and the Lord shall, the Bible says, direct thy path. Let's stand, would you please? Father, we love You. Thank You again, Lord, for loving us. Thank You, Lord, for a time in my own life when I placed my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And coming from a family of a lot of preachers, I never thought I would stand behind this sacred stand and preach the gospel. But Lord, I'm reminded in the Word of God just to keep on coming. If any man come after Me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Me. And Lord, I pray that in this room, in this great church, this great number of people that are here this evening, and thank You so much for this godly pastor, for his friendship and for his stand on the Word of God, his faithfulness down through these years. And Lord, no doubt there's many that are here tonight because of his obedience, no question. But Lord, we all realize that we're accountable. We're all going to stand before You, and we desire to hear You say, well done. May we keep in mind that we too can have great influence on others. And may we yield ourselves to You completely, that we could be used by You. If any man come after Me, help us, Lord, just to deny self and to keep on coming and drawing closer to You day by day. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. And Lord, we thank You for what You'll do. My heads are bowed for just a moment. Your pastor's coming to extend the invitation. But how many in this room tonight could say with me, preacher, there's been a time in my life that I trusted Christ as my Savior. And I just want to thank the Lord and just praise Him right now for saving my soul. Would you raise your hand with mine and just praise God for what He's done already in your heart and in your life, all over the room, all over the room. Could there be one that could not raise your hand? You could not say with family or friends that I'm certain if I were to die right now that heaven will be my home. The Lord knows your heart. And the Lord knows exactly who you are and who would be here in this service tonight. And only your pastor and myself looking on. And you would say to your pastor, to this pastor of this great church, I'm not certain if I were to die right now that I'd go to heaven. And I ask that you pray for me. Would you be so honest with the Lord and honest with yourself to raise your hand and say by that, please pray for me. Is there one like that? Anywhere at all, God bless you. Are there others? Just lift your hand up and take it right back down. God knows. God knows. How many in this room would say, preacher, I'm born again. I'm certain if I were to die right now, I'd go to heaven. But I know that there's more that I need to be doing. And God's been speaking to my heart about some area of my life. I want to be obedient to the Lord as a Christian. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand with mine all over this room and say, please pray for me. God knows what that is. God knows what that is. God bless you all over the room. And may I say, our obedience will not only be pleasing to the Lord, but may I say, can be an influence on many others as we are just following the Lord. Family, friends, co-workers, and neighbors. In just a moment, when the piano begins to play and the preacher comes, let me encourage you to find you a place around this altar. Lastly, I ask this question. How many would say tonight, preacher, I want you to pray with me. Pray for my family, my friends, my loved ones, someone that you're concerned about just now, particularly family. Please pray with me for my family that they would come to know the Lord. Anyone like that tonight, just raise your hand all over the room. Father, thank you again for the Word of God that speaks to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to be reminded that whatever we do, including salvation, including surrender, including service to you, it's by the grace of God that I am what I am. Help us, Lord, to draw closer to you day by day and trust you completely. And these in this room, Lord, that are praying for others, family members and friends, someone's on their heart, help them, Lord, I pray, to come to the knowledge of the truth. But help us to be obedient, Lord, in sharing the gospel with them, having a compassion, making a difference. And for others in this room that need to make decisions, Lord, you know each of our hearts. And may we yield ourselves to you.
We're going to sing in a moment, Hymn of Invitation. Let me just say a word. There were several things as I sat there on the front pew that the Lord spoke to me about, but I think the biggest one, in fact, I know it is, was when Brother Pauly said, every day you have to surrender yourself afresh. Every day you have to say, I want to do God's will. And, you know, Jesus said, take up your cross daily. So every day, and you know what? You have to do that. We're commanded to do that, and he's worthy for us to do that. And I sat there and I thought, that's so true. Every single day, you have to surrender yourself to doing God's will that day. Father, bless the invitation time as we sing together. Lord, use us in our hearts and our lives. Thank you for the reminders, the preaching of this dear sermon. And I ask, Father, that as we leave this place, we will make these decisions in our heart. Every day, daily, take up our cross and follow you because you're worthy of that. Bless you as you've asked a prayer, please, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.